this Sunday's texts are, well, they're not exactly all over the place, but they're all over the place sufficiently enough for me to come up with, I'm sure many of you will know exactly where Law's Wisdom and Stars Oh My comes from. We're not going to talk about Yellow Brick Roads or anything like that, but we are going to instead look at these various texts. What do they tell us about what matters? And our psalm reading is a very interesting one. It's one of the classic, if you will, one of the most significant psalms in the whole notion of general revelation. General revelation is what says that if you look carefully, or even not all that carefully, but if you look at the created order, you'll be able to see that there's more to it than just happenstance, and that in fact there's a creator behind it. Now, not everybody accepts that for what it is, and that's okay, because whether we like it or not, we simply cannot insist that people think the way that we do. We can't even do it with our kids, so what makes us think we can do it to everybody else? But general revelation says that when the heavens are telling the glory of God, there's something that happens when we look at the heavens, when we look at whatever it is that we look at in their created order, all the way from things as straightforward as birds at a bird feeder and the amazing way that they can get around in the air, a way we certainly cannot. But we look at that and we go, okay, there must be something more. And some people come up with there's a watchmaker, there's an argument that says that God created everything and then just let it running like a watchmaker does. Watchmaker takes all the little bits, makes a watch, that's all there is to it. And then it works and continues working until it doesn't. We go from there into a couple of different things. When I was thinking of laws, I mean, obviously the Ten Commandments are a very clear example of laws. The commandments are commandments. You're supposed to do them. If you were an observant Jew, they were part of the most significant requirements upon you, namely to obey all of the things in the Hebrew Scriptures, in what we call the Old Testament. So you have the Ten Commandments, you have all of those rules in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. They show up all over the place. There's hundreds of them. But the Ten Commandments, the Ten Words, these are sort of the pinnacle of them all. And what we get in there, as well as laws, we get a reminder of God as creator. And that's where we get the Sabbath from. The idea of keeping a Sabbath is, in coming out of Scripture, is that God created the earth in 6 days, whether they were 24-hour days or they were something else is a matter of complete irrelevance to me anyway. But after that was done, there was a period of rest. And that period of rest is something that we are supposed to keep as well, that we keep the Sabbath. We keep it holy, which isn't so much that we keep it religious, but we keep it holy in that it's separate from the normal, from the regular, because that's what holy means more than anything else. It means set aside. It doesn't mean religious. It doesn't mean praying, although that can happen. But by keeping the Sabbath, or keeping a Sabbath, what we're doing is we're saying that there's something significant about rest. This is a very unpopular message these days. I mean, you don't have to go very far in the internet before you find somebody who talks about getting up at 4 a.m. because they only need 4 hours of sleep, and they work out, and they do this, and they do that, and they do all of these things before you've even got out of bed, and that's why you are a failure and they aren't. No, these are people who are working themselves into a frenzy. At least that's what it seems like to me, and I'm not convinced that they're getting the full value of being human. We need rest. As somebody who is a recovering work addict, and I use those words quite carefully, being a workaholic is one of those things that we sort of hold up as, oh, look at you. Someone with work addiction is in trouble, because if you want to read a fascinating book on it, read a book called Working Ourselves to Death. And the author there says that work addiction is like any other addiction in that it destroys your life and then it kills you. And that's what work addiction does. And that's what I was on that track in my early 20s. And rest to me was foolish. Why would you do that? Why rest when you can work? Well, it's part of the rhythms of being human. And it's one of the Ten Commandments even. But that takes us into this whole idea of wisdom, where we look at our Corinthian reading, or Corinthians reading, and Paul talks about how the wisdom of God looks like foolishness to people. And I was looking in my Bible that I write things in, and one of the things I wrote in there is that what Paul is talking about fits in well with the Beatitudes. Because the Beatitudes are sort of our culture upside down. You know, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, blessed are people that are looked down on and marginalized in our culture these days. And Paul is saying that if we want to live by the world's wisdom, it's not going to work out the way we want it to. Because the world's wisdom in Paul's day, and I would suggest also in ours, is antithetical to God's. It's not intentionally set up as an affront to God. It's just that that's what we do when we're left on our own, is we end up focusing on, well, on the wrong things. And so when you take your mind off those wrong things and place them on the right things, you end up doing things that many people will tell you are foolish. And that's okay. Because the wisdom of God is different than the wisdom of people, because God has a completely different view of human beings. God doesn't look at human beings as working units. He doesn't look at them as consuming units. God looks at human beings, each individual human being, as a person worthy of God's love just because they are, not because of anything we've done. That's backwards to much of what we hear in our culture. Not all. There are many good things about Western culture. But sometimes we have to dig to find them, because they're underneath things that say, well, if you're poor, it's because you deserve to be poor. If you're poor, you don't deserve help, because if you deserved help, you wouldn't be poor. It's a weird way of thinking, but it's one that you will encounter in some people who ordinarily or otherwise seem to be pretty well put together. But this idea that we should reach out to the poor, to the weak, to those who can't do anything for us, can't give us anything in response, is one that isn't popular these days. And I was wondering, how do we pull in Jesus' behavior in the temple? It's an interesting story. And what it comes out of this idea of the laws matter. Because what Jesus was doing to these people who are in the temple is he was throwing them out of a place they didn't belong, because the place they were in was a holy place. Not the most holy place, that was where only the high priest went once a year, but it was a holy place. The environs of the temple were a place where you didn't buy and sell things. It was where you prepared yourself for worship. It's where you brought your sacrifice. It was where lots of things happened, none of which involved commerce. Jesus isn't saying here that commerce is bad. He's just saying it's bad where it was. And he threw them out because they were interfering with several of the laws found in the Old Testament. They weren't keeping the place of God separate in the way that it had been called to be. They were using the Lord's name in vain. I've sometimes heard people talking about the Lord's name in vain is limited to using bad language on the golf course or behind the wheel, wherever it makes you want to say things you know you shouldn't say. But using the Lord's name in vain is so much more significant than that. It's saying that God is in favor of something that God isn't. It's saying that God behaves in a way that God does not behave. That's taking the Lord's name in vain. And in this case, setting up booths to sell things, which in and of itself is fine, but where they set it up, that was the problem. And so when Jesus cleared that out, we sometimes think that that was something that we need to be looking at. And I would suggest that's not the case. We are not called to clear the temple the same way Jesus was. We are called instead to look to see what do we take from that story and what do we take from our other readings today that pull everything together with this idea that the heavens themselves give witness to the reality of God. And if we're careful how we look at it, if we look carefully, we'll be able to see that. And we'll see that God has created laws that are for our benefit, including rest. And we see even more when we look into the Old Testament, not in today's lessons, but we see that Jesus sums up all of those laws in the two that we talk about often, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That takes all of those laws and encapsulates them into just two. And if we follow those, we've followed all of them. And that seems kind of crazy. And then we get into Paul, talking about the foolishness of God's wisdom. It's not easy to behave in a foolish manner. It's the main reason why adults can't learn new languages. It's because they refuse to look foolish and make mistakes. We don't like that, whether it's something as simple as getting a verb case wrong when we're trying to learn a new language, or when we're taking a stand against injustice, when we're giving to the poor, even though people tell us we're fools for doing it. All of those things are when we step into the reality of the wisdom of God, leaving behind the wisdom of the world, which isn't always in step with God's, and often, in fact, is not. We look at these texts together, and what pulls them together, if anything does, is God is alive and well. God matters. God has communicated to us through stars, through nature, through the created order, through the words of Scripture, through the person of Jesus Christ. And now, and this isn't in today's text, but now through the Holy Spirit working within us. When you hear something and you say, that's okay, that's it, that's true, that makes sense, that's something I should, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to your spirit, moving you forward in a way that lets you pay careful attention to the laws of God, the person of God, the person of Jesus. And even though it's foolish, even though people will tell you if you were wise, you would do something else, when we step forward and do that anyway, that's when we're being who we were created to be. We weren't created to be automatons, robots, just following a scripted line for all of our lives. We're called to be fully rounded human beings. And when we act in that way, and we allow our compassion, our care, all of those things come out in our interactions with other people, we're being who we were created to be. We're being our best selves. And maybe that's what pulls everything together today. The scripture that we read today, when we read it in context, when we understand some of the things that are going on around it, we realize that these are the things that help us to become the people we want to be, because we want to be the people we were created to be. Amen.